Previously on the Critical Mass Podcast.
Is this thing on? Okay.
I seen it happen. Eat a duck.
You saw a catfish eat a duck?
It's fuel for the imagination.
Do you hear things too?
Sound bites! Keep them frozen, they're good!
I hear someone.
No, don't turn it down.
Hello, I'm Winston.
I'm Curtis.
And you're listening to the Critical Mass Podcast. We're on about a number of things today, including Godzilla, Tetris, and Fate. So Godzilla is the first up on our lineup because I'm excited about the new movie and I want to kind of touch on what has come before. But Kurt, I think you have new information for me.
Yeah.
Spill.
Well, I saw a movie interview, whatever, on YouTube, where they let them on the set to explore it and look around. And they got the impression, as they were looking at it, and what they got from the cast and crew, that Godzilla, he's the starting monster. It all happened 1954. And he's loose, and they got that from. Well, it turns out the Japanese decided to try and make their own kaijus, which they've had contained for years, but now all of a sudden, with Godzilla around for some reason, they break out five monsters. They're called Mutos.
Okay.
Which are just mutants that they've created. And they have no way of stopping them. They have only the one natural kaiju, Godzilla.
You are our only hope.
And that's where in the Japanese or whatever trailer, Watanabe goes, they have to fight.
Right. Right. All right. Well, that's cool. We're going to get to see some big-time monster action.
Yeah. No Mothra or Rodan, but, yeah, Godzilla gets a kick their ass.
Excellent. Hey, you know what? I'm in favor of it. Okay. It also means we're not going to see any Mechagodzilla or...
Ultraman.
Ultraman. dude, I picked up the complete Ultraman series.
Yeah,
on
I've
DVD.
Seen that.
It's awesome. Isaiah looked at it and he goes, what's that?
I know.
You will be educated. Yeah. He will be educated. So are any of the previous foes coming back? Do you know?
Don't know about that. Okay. Just that this is, if it does launch it as a series, well, I hope.
Yeah.
But that'd be awesome then.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Well, it would be in keeping with their pattern because they did, you know, the original Toho series,
mm-hmm,
which kind of culminated in Destroy All Monsters, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, where, you know, when they brought them all together, and then afterwards they did Godzilla 2000 was the new wave.
Yeah.
Kind of a, I don't know, a reply to a rebellion against the Zilla monster.
Reboot.
Well, no, it was because Godzilla 2000 came out after the Zilla of Dean Devlin and Matthew Broderick.
Yeah.
And it was a return to the roots. You know, you'd mentioned the Blu-rays, and I found them. That's the series that they're doing.
Cool.
Because that's the one that they did in the early 2000s and stuff. And that's the one where they brought in they just introduced a whole bunch of new monsters.
Yeah.
Destroyer was one of them, and I don't know. I'm not real good at the names. Garen, I think, was another.
Yeah, the ones from the video game, basically. That.
Yeah, from the GameCube video game.
Yeah.
That's where those came from.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are the ones on Blu-ray right now. And that's worth it. I mean, that's cool.
Yep.
But for all intents and purposes, they're new Godzilla films.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not the ones that we grew up watching.
The good ones.
they really were good movies, but we'll come back to those. I think we have time to drop one more podcast before the show opens. But the 2000s were marked by an acknowledgement of the camp of the series, you think?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, before, these movies were, the Godzilla movies were predominantly disaster films.
Poor Tokyo.
Then, yeah. And, you know, and then you had some, they were either disaster films, like the first Gojira and yeah. Godzilla, King of Monsters. I mean, that was really a disaster film. And Mothra and Rodan and the rest of them like that. And then you got Son of Godzilla. And it went to completely the other end of the spectrum. And that was kind of a reply to the popularity of Gamera, Friend to All Children. But, you know, and I guess my plan to talk about these in some kind of order has just gone straight out the window. Yeah. But the 2000s was an acknowledgement of the camp that had gone before and an attempt to treat these in a different way. Because when they did those films, and there were six or eight of them, but when they did those films, they weren't the serious disaster films of the 50s and 60s.
No.
Or I guess 50s and 60s. And they weren't the cheesy camp films of the 60s and 70s. But they were a little bit different. They tried to make them into straight up action films. Remember at that time Power Rangers was at the height of its popularity and a lot of the Japanese Sentai was making a resurgence. So yeah. But that's cool. They're still good movies and well worth watching, and I like them. And that's all I have to say about that. You know, the Blu-rays every time I pass them, that's very very tempting because those are some that I don't have on my shelf. But that's all right.
Yeah.
So what other new information have we got? On the Godzilla, anything?
That was it, man.
That was it? All right.
Yeah, no
more. That's all right. Well, other shows we have been watching, we just finished watching Ecstasy of Order.
Oh, God.
And it was a documentary about the Tetris Grandmasters.
Yeah.
Now, this is not the first time we've seen stuff like this. We watched King of Kong, a.k.a. Fistful of Quarters. And that was an eye-opening experience, one part really, really sad, and one part I can't believe these hippies.
And
because I remember, I just remember what impressed me the most about that film, what made me just throw up my hands, was the one guy at the end who gave up corporate life to go play his guitar barefoot in the woods. You remember that?
God, really?
There we go. And then we watched Second Life, or Second Skin.
Second Skin.
Second Skin, which it was about World of Warcraft gamers. And that was terrifying on a whole new level.
Yes.
But Ecstasy of Order was a little bit different. It was a more traditional documentary about this tournament, about these people who competed in the Nintendo World Championships in the 80s.
20 years ago.
20 years ago. And,
that was 2010 when that movie was made.
Yeah, so.
Dang.
Yeah, so they reunited new championships. Yeah. And that was interesting. The one champion from back then. These people were in awe of him.
Still,
20 years later, still in awe of this kid that that they looked up to back then. That just trounced everybody at Tetris.
Mm-hmm.
And they expected him to come in and do it. And he comes, he comes on the scene, and it's a whole new ball game for him because these people, I don't want to call them peers. Let's call them peers. His peers have spent the past 20 years obsessing about Tetris, and he hasn't. No. He plays recreationally.
Yes.
And I was so impressed. He just kind of drops in his Facebook feed. Oh, yeah, I just happened to be playing Tetris, and I hit level 30, and I was surprised it flipped over, and... the reaction from this hardcore Tetris community
was nice.
Oh man, it was It was something else. I mean, I know this kind of fandom exists.
Mm-hmm.
I, God help me, I used to be part of that fandom 20 years ago. Not Tetris, but that level of fandom where you feel that comic book continuity is worth arguing about. Yeah, let it out, Kurt. Laugh.
Oh,
it's
God.
All right. It's all good.
It went all over me.
But that was 20 years ago.
Yes.
And I hate to say I grew out of it because that sounds...
it's you grew up. There's other things that are more important. And then it's why? Why bother? It's only a game. It's only this.
Maybe that's it. Maybe I just kind of settled down and eventually learned to put things in the proper place.
Look how easy it is to get your brother riled up over a light little thing about a game. It doesn't matter.
It's all right. It's all good. But I never suspected that that kind of fandom existed
still
in regards
exists.
To Tetris. And, you know, that, after we watched King of Kong and saw the same
God.
Thing in King of Kong.
At least these people were sane.
They really were. And they were good sports. They had
yeah,
good
they
attitudes.
Yeah, they didn't go after, like, I'm going to slit your throat or break into someone's house to check their machine for cheating. What the frack?
Yeah, because those guys on King of Kong, they were...
Damn.
They were obsessive about it.
If Kongs do that to me, I'd be skinning them alive where they stood.
But it was an eye-opening movie. It was very interesting to watch these people. Mm-hmm. And just terrifying in more than one way. Especially because we didn't realize that some of these Tetris variants existed.
Yeah, damn. The invisible Tetris.
Yeah, tell us about that.
There's a Japanese machine it was.
Yeah.
The Grandmaster or whatever it was. But you have to survive for a minute or so doing Tetris. The pieces fall down up here, but once they land, they go invisible. So you have to remember everything to make it work so you can survive a minute. You survive a minute, you're a grandmaster.
Isn't that scary?
Yeah, because the speed, it increased it as it built levels, too. You notice. So
I noticed.
Like, damn.
Yeah.
But the boy who did that, he didn't last to the finals. He got knocked out by Dana.
Well, yeah. Invisible Tetris isn't... It's
I know,
not an
but
endurance
still.
Thing.
But he was supposed to be one of the good ones as well. But, yeah. You know, it's just...
He was the dude from MIT...
Was he? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, because he, he gave a little speech about how difficult it was to program a computer
yeah.
to solve.
Yeah,
because
you can't. Yeah, that's
yeah.
That.
So anyway,
it's an unsolvable problem.
But it was a very cool movie, a fascinating movie, and if you enjoy that kind of thing, these things that are really documentaries,
yeah.
and not shockumentaries.
Oh God.
But I would recommend King of Kong with a little bit of preparation and then
You'll
Second
get
Skin.
Angry. Second Skin?
I'd say it's worth watching
yeah,
if you're not part of that fandom.
Yes, or just so it's your intervention.
Or it's an intervention, right.
Here, watch this. You turning into that one.
Right.
Because, yeah. Losing your job.
But that's
job.
All right. You know, it's I understand it's perfectly natural. People need something to take their mind off of the stress of real life, and a game is a good way to do that.
Yeah.
And, I understand the tendency to obsess over things. So it's understandable. That doesn't make it healthy, but
yeah.
I understand.
Look at sports fans.
Well, speaking of my own current unhealthy obsession... my Kickstarter for Opposing Forces for Fate Core is now live as of the moment that this podcast drops. So I'm very excited about that. Head over to Kickstarter, follow the links in the blog here, the page, and check it out. I hope you'll find something you like, because I want to put this book together. I want to make it very, very cool, and I want people to come along for the ride with me. But our Fate topic for the day... is character creation. Because character creation in Fate is
different.
Something unlike... Yeah, it's different. It's something unlike we have ever really seen before in any of the other games we've done.
Yeah.
Because we come from the Power Gamer background. We come from the D&D background. You know, and even our first, really substantial steps out of that with games like the Star Wars, the West End Star Wars.
Yeah.
They're still heavily invested in those roots where you roll your stats and you pick a class and you build from there. These characters are built very much from the numbers up. And when you're character building in Fate, the reverse is true. And I think that this is one of the reasons that the Bestiary book is needed quite so strongly. Because when you're used to building characters from the numbers up, you can say, well, this guy's a fighter, he's got a +5 and this, and a +4 in that, and a +3 in that. And in Fate, when you say, well, this guy's a fighter, he comes from a broken home, and he's venting his rage through fight, which is good character stuff, but it's not very helpful tactically. So, Kurt, what was your first impressions of character creation in Fate and Fate Core? What's your takeaway from your response from the to characters?
Hippies. No, it's just all descriptive. What you say is what your attribute or whatever it is, the aspects and stuff.
Right.
That's the core of it all. What you say is what he is.
Now, did you do the first thing that I did when faced with Fate Core, read through the character stuff, and then went immediately and filled in the skill numbers?
I didn't do that until the last part of my character, because that was the easiest part.
That's where I started, because that's where I used to start.
I want to get the hard part over.
I think we're not used to spending, outside of some really crunchy systems, we're not used to spending an entire game session trying to build characters.
No.
But Fate does something where you set up a template between your characters, you set up an interaction between your characters, where they all are part of each other's story, and when you're done, they all have a reason to be together.
Yeah.
And this is a good idea, in theory.
It is.
It's a good idea if you're building that story.
Well, no matter what, it's also a good idea so you don't have that one wild card, evil son of a buck that's in the party for no reason, that everybody hates. This way everybody's there for a reason to work together. No conflict, no outgoing, no bullcrap that's going to slow the game down, or 2 seconds later, okay, John, make a new character. Yours sucks.
Right.
You're screwing the whole party up.
Yeah, so it really is a good idea.
Mm-hmm. And it lets you define the campaign if you ain't got no idea.
But you know what? When we sat down to start this Fate game and, okay, guys, what you got your primary, your high concept, you got your trouble, what do we do now? Well, pass your character sheet to the left,
it was funny.
And what happens now? I'm supposed to be in his story? How? What are we doing? Where are we going? I felt very at sea.
Greg was trying to write down in my character what I was supposed to have been doing. No, it's for you to tie in yours with mine. At level 2. That's what the whole point is. Everybody looks at everybody's characters and ties everybody's story together some way, That's all it is. You're supposed to, that way everybody's linked. There's a reason.
I get it, and it's a good plan. It's just not what we're used to doing.
No.
I mean,
that's what disadvantages, advantages, and GURPS are for. But yeah. And you just gotta get used to it.
You have to get used to it.
The problem is, it's also thinking. It's got more thinking to it, because, it's not simple stats, numbers, roll, I can go. Now you gotta think, okay, I want to invoke that aspect. Oh god, how can I invoke it? If you're not in the mood, it's hard.
Well, you know what? Even beyond invoking the aspect, okay? It is just not something. Looking at a character and asking, okay, what's my motivation? is not something that that I am used to doing. I mean, for crying out loud, my last Pathfinder character was named Phytor. What's my motivation? Well, I want to swing my mighty blade.
No problem with that.
And it was a fine motivation. I got to, I had my guy optimized for using that sunder feet, and I got to, I got to sunder things, and I was very happy with that.
I know.
You know, but when Fidor makes the transition to Fate, the first thing on,
break things.
You know, the first thing on the thing was, well, why were you at the Battle of Ghosh? To break things?
They had a tower that needed demolished. I was the contractor. But it's just, you gotta tie everything together. For some people it's simple and easy, because, you know, it's just do it. But we're not used to it, and sometimes you don't want to be tied to Greg or your brother's characters. That's the scary part. Come on.
You're right. That's
I mean, scary. I don't want to get drugged down there, hell. You know him. You're going to die. No. I don't know him. Never seen him before in my life. Don't care. I hate all wizards. See? Hate all wizards.
Hate all wizards. Good aspect. Good aspect. And you know what? It took me a... It took me a little bit to wrap my head around that, but once I did, we started layering those aspects on.
And then Greg started layering, relayering, trying to reuse, triple threat, all that stuff.
Yeah, well...
You've got to roll them dice. Come on. Get that boost.
I'm all in favor of rolling dice. I like the noise they make. Yeah, I like to watch them bounce around. I like chucking them.
But you don't have to invoke your aspect all the time. I mean, and the book says you won't be able to. You know, you could ride them where they're open enough where you could, but then you're just power gaining. I know Greg was trying his wizard necromancy and all that crap.
And you know what? He ran out of fate points pretty darn quick, didn't he?
Yes, he always did.
So that's all right. I mean, there's some built-in checks and balances there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because remember, you can use it to problems, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, once we finally figured out how to tie the character creation aspects into each other, that that I don't know if that really helped. I don't really know if that helped the party. Some of them had...
It helped half the party. The other half was tomb-raiding necromantic battle mothers.
Well, so, you know, Jeff seems to have a very, very difficult time pulling aspects out of the
he's just like the interaction pieces.
And Greg has got... he has got his own plan, and he has his aspects chosen, and he's going to write his encounter with the other characters to fit those aspects.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, that's well and good. That's one way of doing
but
it, I suppose.
Jeff's just in the same boat as us. It was, you know, all he known was the stat stuff, so he had to think of reason. So he is, like, worse off.
Well, I do like the decision after the games are done, the way we've been running them every game story as a single session, because God knows when we're going to get together again to
next month.
month between story, between commercial breaks.
Yes.
I don't think so. But so at the end of the story, you add another aspect to your character sheet to reflect what just happened in the story.
Yeah.
And I really like that, and I think it's interesting the different direction that has taken for each one of the characters. I mean, we've taken away aspects like they owe me money, you know, or the wealth of the castle,
or what is it? Greg had
somehow or another he become
cursed
what?
Of the kings, or was your brother crap touched by the whatever?
Curse the ancient kings hate me.
Yeah,
that's it.
Wow.
And and then somehow or another he wound up with Arm of the King's Justice.
Hmm.
So
yeah,
and the way aspects work in Fate, I mean, you can just stack and stack and stack and stack the aspects, and you can have as many of them as you want, and it's not really going to be abusive, because it's limited by the number of Fate points that you have. And the number of times that you can tag each of those aspects.
Right.
And the more you have, the less frequently each one is going to come into play.
Yeah.
But the point we're getting at is character creation in Fate is a different approach than what we're used to, because you don't start with the numbers. You start with, what is this character's high concept? Where do they
motivation?
Come from? What is his motivation? Exactly.
Beer and women.
And, you know, that a simplistic answer like that just doesn't cut it for Fate.
I live, I love, I slay. I'm content.
Exactly.
What's your flaw? I'm a barbarian.
Exactly. And, you know, so you've got to put a little more effort into it. And that's great for your player characters, and that's great for your important NPCs. It's not so helpful when you've got a stack of barbarian horde or you know, outlaw bikers coming after you, and you're going to take each one and stop and say, what's his motivation?
I am the law.
Why is he the way he is? You know, I guess he had a bad encounter with a kitten at age 15.
Well, no, the easiest way I found to do it is starting to do, which is a bad habit that I ain't doing around Greg.
Uh-oh.
Is, well, watch the movies, like Judge Dredd, the old one, sort of thing.
Yes.
Well, okay, what is he? He is the law.
He is the law.
You know,
I am the law.
All that crap. You know, start aspecting the characters there. That's one way to do it, to get practice.
Catchphrases are awesome for aspects.
Yes. But I've been finding myself doing that. But it helps.
It does. But we've had to retrain the way we approach characters for Fate Core. Both, you know, the player characters and NPCs.
Yeah.
Because it's a different kind of storytelling system. It's much less focused on the crunch of the numbers and on the tactical movement and tactical options, and much more on the implications to the story and to the character of the actions that you're about to take.
Oh, yeah.
And it's cool. It's more flexible.
It's neat.
It's neat. And we're enjoying it. And that's part of the motivating factor behind this new book. All right. So we're back again in a couple days. We can drop one more Godzilla before it hits theaters.
Yeah, and we drop one on Friday if we want.
Yeah, we can do it Friday. Well, I'm sneaking out Friday morning while the wife's sleeping.
That's what you say now.
That's what I say, right. It depends on how much work I get done between now and then, too, doesn't it?
Yep.
So, that's my goal. How's that?
Well, if there's
my
a midnight goal. Thursday show, and I may go to that. It's easier.
All right.
Maybe. I'd hope so. That'd be cool.
There we go.
After Greg leaves.
Well, let's shut down the reaction chamber for tonight. I think we're in enough trouble for the evening.
Eh.
I'm excited about Godzilla. I've pulled my old Gamera movies out and discovered that I don't have the three new ones that they did in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Or not in the 90s, in the 2000s. So I guess I'm going to have to go shopping.
Yep.
But, yeah, Kaiju rocks. Mm-hmm. All right. Anyway, have a good night, all. Thanks for bearing with us for a half an hour of random access memories, and we'll see you on the flip side.
See ya.
This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 3.0 license.